We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 21 and verses 1, 2, and 3. First Kings chapter 21, verse 1, 2, and 3. Here is a situation where the pressure is put on. Amen. This is a lot harder than piano lessons. This is the real life stuff right here. Chapter 21 and verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give it thee for a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Now this is the king that is approaching him with this business offer to buy his property and to buy it at a good price, more than it is worth, or to give him more land or more for what he has there. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Little did he know that that refusal to the king would cost him his life. But he was willing to go to the grave without selling what he had. Amen. He was willing to go to the grave without selling what he had. And I want to just preach tonight. Maybe I'm just going to preach to the young people. But you can put this down as a title if you want to. It's time to put up the not for sale sign. Praise God. It's time to put up the not for sale sign. We put up for sale signs. We've already been doing that this week. Amen. But it's time to put up the not for sale sign. Praise God. There's some things we're not going to sell. We're not interested in losing them or giving them away. Amen. They're very precious to us. Let's pray together right now and let's ask for the help of the Lord. Father, we thank you today for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this inheritance that has been given to us by our fathers. Lord, we are not going to throw it away. We're not going to sell it. We ask that you'll anoint us tonight. Help us to understand it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. And maybe this will just be a teaching session here. I don't know. But, you know, there's some things that are valuable to each of us. Some things that we would sell. But each of us have some things that are not for sale no matter what. And it may be something that is not worth anything on the market, but because of sentimental value or because of something that we had when we were a child or something that our parents had that they passed down to us, that it would not be worth it if we sold it. Amen. That we would hang on to it. And all of us tonight have priorities when it comes to the things that we possess. And family is one thing that all of us would die for if the need arose. And I just need to ask us a question tonight. What would we sell? What would you sell if the need arose in your life? If you knew that everything was going to be required, that you had to sell everything. I've been listening on the radio and they've been advertising selling your life insurance policy to pay for your medical bills. And I thought, I don't think I'd want to get rid of something valuable. And I would hang on to that and try to work out something different there. But if you knew that everything was going to be taken away, what is it that you would get and take with you? If you knew that you couldn't take very much, but you could take one thing or two or three things, what would it be? And the answer to that question tonight is very telling. And it tells of the ultimate priority of our life. And one thing tonight that's not for sale at any price should be our great God and His great kingdom. Because we've got so much in the kingdom of God, it's hard to know really where to begin. But if we talk about a kingdom, then we're going to talk about the King of the kingdom. And our King is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is awesome. He is mighty. He has everything in His hand. And as Brother Fred said tonight, to know God and to have God in your life, and then all the other benefits just go along with it. Amen. Sometimes it seems like in the kingdom there's famines, and sometimes it seems like there are difficulties, but as long as the King is on the throne, everything's going to be all right. Praise the Lord. As long as the King is on the throne, everything is going to be all right. And He's not for sale in my life. Amen. And there's no bargaining on this situation. Praise God. Our God is great. Psalm chapter 145 and verse 3. It says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." Now, if you would take that scripture and meditate on it for a week or two, I'll tell you tonight that it would be an eye-opener, and it would blow your mind when you begin to think about it. Great is the Lord. Our God is great tonight. Anybody else agree with me on that? Not just great, but He is greatly to be praised. Amen. That's why we promote worship in the house of God. Genuine, heartfelt worship in the house of God, because our God is worthy of that worship. Because He is great, He is to be greatly praised. Amen. And then again, the word great appears, and it says His greatness is unsearchable, meaning that there is no way that we could understand everything about our great God. It is an impossibility. There is no way that we could come down and write a book about it, and or come up with some kind of theology, study of God. Listen, you're never going to study God and find everything out about God. I've got a feeling the scripture is right that says we see now as through a glass darkly, but then we will see face to face. And we will know then, even as we are known, we'll be able to look, as it were, at a glass bubble with our life, and we'll be able to see the scenes of our life, and where, as the one poet wrote about the steps in the sand, and how there were steps. And the Lord's steps were beside us. And then all of a sudden there was only one pair of steps. And they said, "Lord, what happened? That was in a time when I really needed You, and now there's only one set of steps." And the Lord said, "That was when I carried You." Amen. But what we don't see is that the Lord is there. We don't see what He's doing in our life all the time. And I think that's probably by design. But our God is great. He is unsearchable tonight. Praise God. And as I begin to think about this, there's no way to adequately describe Him. Amen. Because He is so far above anything that's on this earth. Amen. The Bible says that heaven is His throne. Now think about that tonight. Heaven is His throne, and the earth is His footstool. Think about that. Psalm chapter 99 and verse 5, "Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy." Amen. We are to worship. The earth is His footstool, and it is the place for worship. It is the place to give God praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving for all that He has done. And the heavens are His throne. Amen. Praise God. The heaven is His throne, and we want to use that a little bit to see how great our God is. when the universe is in the span of his hand, from the tip of little finger to the tip of the thumb, that is where the universe is located. And somewhere in his hand is you and I. Praise God. That's a big plan, my friend, when you understand and realize that it is literally billions and billions of light years away. You say, what's a light year? It's how far it takes. It is the distance for light to travel in 1 year at 185,000 miles per second. Amen. That's a long ways. And so they calculate it in light years. And it's way out there. But you can go way out there and you'll still be in his hand. Praise God. Well, if that's where his hand is, where's the rest of him at? Amen. Somebody said, well, the universe is all there is. I don't believe that tonight. I believe that the heavens are infinite because our God is an infinite God. And there's no end to it. And somebody said, well, there's an end to it. Well, what's at the end of it then? Is there a wall? And what's on the other side of that wall? And how far does it go? There's no way to calculate and compute how big our God is. Amen. I think the only way we can know how big our God is to get to know him and get to trust him. Praise God. And so what we understand tonight is that there is someone that wants you to sell out for something that is cheaper. And we've been teaching Bible study, and all of this comes up in Bible study, Genesis chapter 3. In fact, we talked about that tonight, and I'm not trying to be repetitious here tonight, Walida. Amen. But this is the same story we talked about in Bible study. And the serpent said unto the woman, Genesis 3:4, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Amen. There was a seller, if you please, or a buyer, actually. And he said, I want to buy this relationship from you, and he will tempt you, and he will try you, and he will tell you that the things of this world are great and awesome. But I want to challenge you tonight to open your eyes. Open your eyes to the young people that are in the world and where they're at. And how in the world are you ever going to beat those odds? Amen. You're not going to leave the safety of the church and go out into the world and be blessed. Amen. You're not going to be blessed by selling out the things of God. Amen. We've got to hang on to the truth. We've got to hang on to the message that God has given to us. And it's not just a message. It is hope for us. Praise God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. These are messages that bring about an experience in our life. Amen. We need to see the value of holiness and separation from the world. Amen. There's a reason the pastor preaches it this way. Amen. There's a reason that the elders believe this. Praise God. Is because we've seen the train wrecks and we've seen the trouble and we've seen the problems, amen, that are associated with our world. All it takes is a little bit of looking on your smartphone and pull up the news. And I'll tell you what, you're only going to spend just a little bit there in just a few moments of time, 15 or 20 minutes, you've got it all, and that's all you need to know about where our world is headed. Our world is headed for trouble. Praise God. Our world is headed for trouble. And the reason is because there is someone that wants you to sell out. Amen. Wants you to give up and back up and become apathetic about the work of God and the will of God. But what I'm hearing tonight, I'm feeling like there's some folks that are excited about the will of God and doing the work of God and being a part of the church, being a part of the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, this is the greatest thing that we could be involved in this entire world. Well, praise the Lord. I'm here to say tonight, it doesn't get any better than the kingdom of God. It doesn't. It doesn't get any better than serving God. It doesn't get any better than feeling the power of the Holy Ghost. Why would we want to go and get drunk? Why would we want to go out and get high? Why would we want to get involved in those things? Amen. And destroy your body and destroy your mind and destroy your self-worth. Amen. By involvement in sin and in the world. I'm telling you tonight, it's not worth it. Amen. And there are some of us that have been there, and we can tell you it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Oh, the original feeling of freedom. Oh, we're going to eat something that we're not supposed to eat. We're going to be enlightened. Well, be careful about enlightenment, all right? Maybe I just talked to us here tonight. Be careful about enlightenment. Amen. Because some things that you are enlightened to, enlightenment means that all of a sudden you see something or you experience something that you've never experienced before. Amen. Once you do that and you get through it, I remember the very first time that I went on a roller coaster ride. Anybody remember that time? You went on a roller coaster ride. Well, I may be dating myself here tonight, but my very first roller coaster ride was at the park here in Wichita, Joyland. And it was that old wooden thing, and it was a 90-foot drop. I thought 90 feet was like a skyscraper. And I went over. My brother-in-law talked me into it, and I found out years later that he had talked me into a lot of things over the years. Him and I went in, bought a horse together, and he talked me into taking his business over and talked me into buying a van one time, and it was a piece of junk. And don't always trust your brother-in-law. Be careful. No. Praise the Lord. Just teasing. And we went over that 90-foot drop, and I became so frightened. I started coming up out of my seat, and I could feel myself getting ready to go over the side, and it was quite an experience. He reached over and grabbed me and pulled me back down in the seat, and we went over that roller coaster, and that was a breathtaker. That was my first experience, but after that, hey, let's go do it again. And now I can get on one of those that shoots you like that, shoots you straight up and straight back down and spins you all around. And when I get done, I think, why not? I want to go again. Amen. I like this. And those ones that spin and they get you tighter and tighter and then they whip you out. Oh, I'll tell you what. Some things that you're enlightened to, after you've been enlightened to it, you get used to it. And you need something bigger and something better and something more fantastic. I remember Sean. Some of you don't know Sean, but he's Nathan's cousin. No, brother. Brother. What am I thinking? And we were going to take the young people up to the park up there in Kansas City. And I'm going to ride the Mamba. I'm riding the Mamba. That's the big roller coaster, the big one. And you become weightless, I think, for just a few seconds or whatever. And, oh, he's for days, for weeks, I'm riding the Mamba. I'm riding the Mamba. I'm gonna take that thing on, and I'm going to do it. And we got to that park, and he stood beside that thing, and he saw people going over the top, and he said, I ain't getting on that. And he didn't. I don't think he did. Amen. But you know what? The devil will tell you, this is fun. You can just do it once. But that's not the truth. Amen. Just eat of the fruit of this tree, and you're going to be enlightened. But there are some things that if you get involved in them and you're enlightened by them, amen, it will affect you for the rest of your life. Well, praise the Lord. Can I just preach a little bit here tonight? It's very important that we guard what our children watch. Amen. It's not that I don't trust you young people here tonight, but I'm telling you what, there's not a one of you that needs a cell phone that has internet connection to it. You know why? Because all of a sudden these pornographic pictures will pop right up in front of your face. And the devil will tell you, just go ahead and look at that for a little while. It'll be all right. But I'm telling you, it will affect you for the rest of your life. And there are many, many, many people that are hooked on pornography. There are many that are hooked on that. And I could go into stories, and I'm not going to go into stories. But it is not worth it. It is not worth it. Are you listening to the pastor tonight? Amen. And so enlightenment is not something that is positive all the time. There are some things that we need to be enlightened to. Even Jesus himself, the Bible says that he grew in knowledge and in stature. And so he was enlightened by things. His daddy taught him how to make furniture and how to work with wood. Amen. He learned some things. He grew. And those things are very important. But there are some things that we just don't need to be a part of. And because when we are a part of them, we're actually selling out a part of our kingdom of God. Amen. You cannot get involved in some things in this world and maintain your spirituality. Well, I'm preaching to all of us here tonight. I'm not going to take a lot more time, but there are some things that are just not for sale. You need to put up the not for sale sign. Amen. And when that pretty little girl comes along, you need to put up the not for sale sign. And when that handsome young man comes along, you need to put up the not for sale sign. Praise God and stand for what is right and wait for what is good. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. He put up the not for sale sign. And he said, I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I am choosing to suffer. Moses was the greatest leader that Israel ever had. He is one of the, if not the most known figure in the Bible. He is a representation of Jesus Christ, the deliverer, who brought them through the water and through the cloud. Amen. Moses was a tremendous man, but Moses chose to suffer. He made a conscious decision to say no to some things. What did he say no to? He said no to the pleasures of Egypt. He said no to the place of authority, but he knew in that place of authority he would have to do things that would violate his walk with God. He said no to the gold and the silver. He said no to the fame and the fortune. He said no to it all, and he literally walked away, and in its place he chose suffering. He chose to suffer and to become a slave. Amen. Paul said, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. And if we approach living for God any other way, amen, if we are just looking for another experience, or if we are looking for just for God to help us out when we're in trouble, I'm telling you tonight, you're going to be able to sell out this walk with God when something comes along and it looks better. And the offer is, you're going to get a better piece of land. You're going to get more money. You can have what you want. All you've got to do is sell this. And I'm telling you tonight, it's not worth it at any price. And Naboth said no to the king. And I'm going to close here tonight. Musicians, come on up here. Amen. It's a little different here tonight, but that's all right. Naboth knew the scripture in Proverbs that says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." That was a part of the truth that Solomon was revealed, that God revealed to Solomon. Remove not the ancient landmarks. Because when you start moving things, then all of a sudden there comes a time when the gateway opens. And if somebody has the right price, you'll sell it all. It's happening right before our very eyes in America. We have a national anthem of the founding of our great country, and this is the greatest country that is alive on the face of this earth today. It really is. Without America, this world would turn to complete total chaos. And we're at a place where people can make how much? How much does a football player make? $5 million a year. You know how much that is? That's $100,000 a week. $100,000 a week. That's $400,000 a month. That's more than I make in a month. That was a joke. Don't get worried. Praise God. $400,000 a month. And they're so arrogant and so full of pride, they won't even stand and put their hand over their heart at the national anthem. I just got something from Brother McFaul, and there is a old 60 or 70-year-old church that was dedicated on a public college. And the person that was videoing this showed the steeple in the old church, and it said there's a crane coming right now. And they're going to cut the cross off the top of the church because it's illegal. They're taking the cross off. And he said they're also going inside and they're taking all the Bibles out of the church because it's illegal, because it's against the law. Let me tell you something, it's not against the law. Folks are trying to tell you there's a separation of church and state. But those are the folks that have never been to Washington, D.C. and look up in the Capitol building and along the rotunda there, the big wall, all of these religious paintings everywhere in Washington, D.C. Because it was founded on Christianity. But you know what's happened? We've given a little bit of ground. And then we give a little bit of ground. But you know what? The devil doesn't just take a little bit every time. He takes a little bit more each time. One cigarette leads to two. Two leads to five. Five leads to a whole pack. And before you know it, you're spending all your money on something that you wish you'd never started into. One drink leads to another, and to another, and to another. Until I've heard of those that was able to drink a whole case of beer and not even get high. I'm telling you, it's not worth it tonight. It's not worth it. There are some things that are just not for sale. And I think probably it comes down to this, that we are so thankful for what God has given to us. Amen. If we're not thankful for something, we're going to get rid of it. Praise the Lord. If there's something you've got that's just hanging around and it's costing you something to keep it, maybe a vehicle or something you're paying taxes and insurance on and you never use it and you really don't care about it, you know what? You're going to sell that thing so easily, you'll even sell it at a cut rate price. Praise God. But there are some things that we value because we're thankful for them and they're very precious to us. I still remember the night my pastor baptized me in Jesus' name. I can take you to the place. I still remember the night I got the Holy Ghost, and I can take you right to the spot where God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I can take you to places, amen, and in remembrance of what God's done in my life, and those are precious things to me. I do not want to throw those things away. I don't. And I know you feel the same way tonight. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Praise God. Pray y'all have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving tomorrow. Amen. Let's sing that chorus again. Thanks, I give you thanks for all that you've done. Amen. And we're just going to keep right on going forward for God, living for God, believing God, trusting God, sharing God. Amen. Holding up the light of truth and being thankful for everything that God gives us, not just tomorrow, not just tonight, but all through the year, I'm going to be thankful for what God has blessed me with, because it's precious.